Welcome everyone to this week's episode of Edges and Sledges, the cricket podcast that focuses on Indian cricket. First of all, thank you all very much for joining in and helping us grow the podcast. It's our 31st episode. We really enjoy presenting it to you. So it's good to know that there's someone out there who's listening to us. So we just wanted to say a big thank you for that. If you've been following us, last week we had interviews with an English podcast, the Reverse Swept Radio podcast, as well as a Pakistani podcast called Down the Ground. Lots of fun chatting with other podcasters. So if you haven't heard that, please go and check it out. This week, we're back to our usual format. We'll be talking about the world of cricket this week with my co-podcasters, Varun in Singapore and Ashwin in Cincinnati. So we've been following the India versus West Indies series. So I think we're going to focus on that. And then we're going to have a little bit of a roundup of the world's happenings in the world of cricket and the new rules that have come in about drinks breaks and chat about the cricket ball. And some interesting developments in technology, which Varun will talk about. But I think the first thing to talk about is the India and West Indies series. As predicted, India has swept the series over 6 days of cricket. Both test matches lasting only 3 days. It was 2-0 as predicted. Not many highlights for the West Indies apart from Jason Holder taking 5 wickets in the second test and Rosson Chase scoring 100. They've lost pretty heavily in both games. But I think we're going to focus from our side on the Indian team and the Indian selection. So I think the big story this week, and actually the last 2 weeks, has been Prithvi Shaw. So I know, Varun, you're a big supporter of Prithvi Shaw and getting youth into the team. So, I mean, the guy's just come in and blown everyone away with his runs. So just talk us through Prithvi Shaw and what you think about him and for the future of Indian cricket.
Yeah, I'm super excited. It's been something I've been saying for a while. Indian cricket has had this opener kind of problem, I think, for a couple of years now where nobody's really set. And Prithvi Shaw's come in, he does well, he plays with a positive mindset, he's got a good strike rate. In fact, I even read Ravi Shastri after the game said that, you know, Shaw's got a little bit of Sachin in him, a little bit of Viru in him, and when he walks, he's got a little bit of Lara in him. So, I mean, can it get more promising than that, right? I think his average is probably 120, 130 odd right now. Okay, he's played only 2 games. But I think definitely future of Indian cricket, definitely cementing his place. If you ask me, I was telling a friend today that actually Vijay Dhawan and Rahul look like they're going to be playing kind of a game of merry-go-round for that second opener spot. But I think Shaw is on that plane to Australia and he's definitely playing the first game.
Ashwin, your thoughts on Prithvi Shaw? Is he someone you think is going to be there in the long run?
I mean, I think he's been getting groomed to be there for the long run since he was like 11 years old, right? Some things about his story are pretty fascinating where he grew up in Bombay playing very difficult cricket. There's some incredible aspects of his journey to get to this point, including obviously the 546 that he made that, you know, made news pretty much across the world as I think he was 14 at the time or something. So this is not new. He's been getting groomed for this moment for a very, very long time. I do think, you know, I've said this before on the show from a bowling standpoint, but same applies from a batting standpoint. I think it's great that they gave him his first shot at test cricket at home, because it's a little bit more comfortable, it's familiar surroundings. So I think, you know, most of the media will be saying, okay, great, but the real test is going to be abroad and how he does in Australia. But I think I echo what Warren said, very, very excited, great talent, good intent. Now, just, you know, it remains to be seen if you can go off and try to score at 120, 130 in Australia and succeed, or he'll lose his wicket quickly a couple of times and then have to learn the way most of our other batsmen do.
Yeah, I think he scored the third fastest 100 on debut in 99 balls, and his last innings was 70 of 53 balls. So, a great start to his test career. And just on the fact that he started at home, but I was listening to the Dusra podcast by the BBC, and it was talking about Prithvi Shaw and how he went over as a schoolboy to England to play cricket over there, school cricket. And I have to say, I had a bit of a lump in my throat about this young kid who's lost his mother at age 4, whose father's been supporting him through cricket and has supported him through it, going to a foreign country and basically learning how to play cricket there. I think I won't reveal too much about the podcast because it's a great episode and you guys should go and listen to it. But it's about how he starts there in April and he's wearing 6 jumpers because it's so alien to him and it's so cold. And I mean, it's just a great, great story. So if you guys haven't checked that out, please go and have a listen to the Dusra podcast by the BBC. And yeah, I mean, Prithvi Shaw, great story for Indian cricket. He's been around for some time, I think, in the sights. And I think it's a great way for him to start. The only word of caution I would say is even Rohit Sharma started with 200s against the West Indies. So let's give Shaw his space. Kohli, I think, has recognized that as well and say, don't compare him to anyone. But yeah, Varun, anything more to add on Prithvi Shaw?
I mean, it was interesting, you know, his whole story and background. We'll get into details another time, but it was interesting, like his dad traveled 70 kilometers with him every day just so that he could play games. They had literally no idea how to make next month's ends meet, right? They didn't know where the money was coming from, but they got by. And it was interesting, a reporter recently asked him that, you know, and I'll say it in Hindi, but ye do match mein aapka beta aapke pure lifetime se zyada paisa kama diya, aapko kaisa lag raha hai? And the dad really replied saying, ki, you know, you think hum ye rupiyon ke liye kar rahe hai? Like, this is not something we're doing to make money. Like, that was not my agenda of making my son travel 70 kilometers every day and putting in everything on the line. So it's not about money. It's about passion and wanting to play for the country. And I think the feeling I get when I see Shaw out there is that he wants to be here more than anything. And I think that to me is the greatest.
And Ashwin, he just looks like he belongs, doesn't he? I mean, he gives you that feeling that Sachin gave you. And I don't want to jinx him and say anything right now because it's so such an exciting time for that talent. But he just gives you the feeling that he belongs somehow at that level. I don't know what you think.
Yeah, I 100% echo. And I think that's a great anecdote from Varun because the reality is, for the amount of effort, they're probably less strenuous or less stressful ways to make money. So you're definitely not doing this for the money. You're doing this for love of the game. He certainly looks like he belongs. I mean, we in India, as most countries, are pretty guilty of jumping the gun a little bit, getting overexcited about this new talent. And then, to your point, Rohit did really well in his career. Shikhar Dhawan scored a century in his first test match. So we need to manage the talent appropriately. But I think his dad being as involved as he has played a big purpose to do that. I read a separate report where, you know, reporters wouldn't get access to him at all. He had to go through his dad. He had an agent and a manager pretty young because they knew this was coming, right? He's obviously a special talent and they've been grooming him for this. So he 100% to me, DJ, looks like he just belongs out there.
And also him winning his man of the tournament, man of the series in his first ever series. He still seems quite grounded. And I don't know, there's a bit of Sachin about his off-field personality as well. While he looks like he belongs on the field, there's a bit of just knowing that, just taking things in his stride, which is, I mean, it's so refreshing to see. He's not overawed by the attention. And I mean, I think we all wish him all the best. And I think we can keep gushing over it. But the real test, as you say, is when he goes abroad. And how many runs do you guys think he's going to score when he goes to Australia? Varun, you first.
Well, first, I want to say it almost felt like you were singing Mambo Number 5 with a little bit of Sachin, a little bit of Sehwag. And I think the secret sauce to Shaw's success is that he also has a little bit of Dravid by his side. So you can't take that away. So it's a great mix. I don't know, man. I think format series, I would say if he scores above 300 in total, I'd be pretty happy with that for his first series abroad.
Ashwin?
Yeah, I'm going to predict he'll make, let's call it 375.
I'm going to go with 350. So I think we'll see who comes the closest. But I think we're all looking forward to him doing really well in Australia. So I think we've got one spot nailed down at the top of the order for India. But now the other spot, that's interesting a little bit. Guys, KL Rahul, after his massive 149, I think it was, at the Oval, him coming back into form, we thought it was a breakthrough innings for him. Then he sat out a couple of games in the Asia Cup. Then he was back into the team for the India-West Indies games. What is going on with KL Rahul? He scored 4 of 25 in the second innings here. He didn't. He got, a four-ball duck in the first innings in Rajkot. Is Rahul going to be on that flight to Australia? And what's ailing him? Is it confidence? Is it lack of gameplay? What's going on there, Varun?
Yeah, I'm not sure. If you ask me, I think on this podcast over the last 30 weeks, we've actually been a huge supporter of Rahul playing. And it finally looks like he's getting his shot. He's got some security over the last 5 test matches, I would say, that he's opening the batting for India. But honestly, man, to not cash in on this opportunity, it's just baffling to me. I can't understand the shots he played in the first innings of this. I can't believe the way he got out. So at the risk of saying it, I don't know, maybe he isn't as good as we all think he is. Maybe he had an explosive 2 months in the IPL. But since then, he's not done that much. Now, having said that, I would still persist with him in Australia. I think Shaw and Rahul should be our opening pair. But yeah, I just feel like he's not making a strong case for himself when it is there for the taking.
Ashwin, is it a mental thing or a technical thing? Or a bit of both?
Probably a bit of both, but I'm biased to say it's more of a mental thing. I think when you watch him playing and watch him struggling, you can see he's in his head. He's overthinking. He's over-questioning. And if you go back and watch highlights from some of his IPL knocks this past season, you can see it just he was just playing his natural game. Like, it was free flowing. He didn't seem to think about it. Now, there's a difference between T20s and tests, where you need to be a little more in your head in test cricket to survive. I mean, there've been some good gritty knocks we've seen from many different players across the years that show that it's purely a mental game. Dravid was as good as he was probably because his technical was fantastic, but his mental game was at one level higher than everybody else. And so I think it's a mental game for Rahul. I hope to see him stick it out. He's still pretty young. He's got a long career ahead of him, but it's not looking good right now.
Yeah, well, I think he just needs to get some form. I think he will be on that plane. I'm not sure Shikhar Dhawan will make that plane. Murali Vijay has got some form again, so he might be on that plane as a backup opener. But I think we will be going with Rahul and Shaw as our openers for the Australia series, which starts, I think it's in about a month. Anyway, just moving on to the rest of the batting order. I think Kehlani returned to form in the first innings of the Hyderabad test. He scored 40-odd, I think, at Rajkot in that run fest over there. But that was good to see. We thought that maybe Mayank Agarwal would be putting some pressure on him to keep him out of the team. But Mayank didn't get a chance in this series. But Rahane did make use of the opportunity. Admittedly, he didn't go on to get a ton or a massive score. But he looks like he's back in nick. And the fact that Kohli mentioned him at the post-match ceremony at Hyderabad says that he's definitely still a big part of the Indian scheme of things and the Indian test team. So I think that was good to see. I think it was slightly disappointing that Mayank Agarwal didn't get a game, because I think India should have tried him out in this series where the pressure was slightly off, especially being 1-0 up. But I think the big story for us guys, again, is Rishabh Pant. The guy seems to have a bit of a weakness when he gets to 92. Ashwin, what goes on to him when he gets to 92? Two scores of 92 in this series.
Yeah, I tweeted this earlier. I wonder if he thinks it's like a video game that you unlock bonus points if you score the same thing over and over again. Maybe he just got confused. No, look, it's not easy, right? The 90s aren't easy. Remember, we mentioned the guy on the show already, but Rahul Dravid made, I think it was 95 in his first match. He made back-to-back 90s in 1997. If a guy with the mental strength and the temperament of Rahul Dravid struggled in the 90s, you don't blame such a young kid like Rishabh Pant to struggle. So we want to see him go on and convert those to big centuries. He was able to in England, which is good. You know, I think he just got into his head while batting in 90s, especially on the 92 for the second time. He must have been standing there waiting for the delivery saying, don't get out again, don't get out again, don't get out again. And then, of course, when it happened, you saw him just hang his head just in shock that he had played the shot. Now he got up to a pretty good catch, but yeah, disappointing. I think amazing talent for the future. I think he's cemented his place for the test team for now. I mean, I don't think they're going to try Karthik again. I don't know what the future holds for Saha as test keeper, but I think for now, Pant is going to be on that plane to Australia and he's going to be given a shot for a little while.
Varun, do you agree with that? Even if Riddhiman Saha is fully fit, Rishabh Pant walks into the 11 for you?
Yeah, for me, he does. I think firstly, I'm kind of okay if he hit 292s. Sometimes you don't want it to get to your head. I worry a little bit for Rishabh Pant. He seems like the kind of guy to me who might let it get to his head. So I'm okay. I think the objective is to keep scoring runs, spend time in the middle. You have a long career ahead of you. So I would say don't sweat about those hundreds. I think his keeping needs a lot of working on. This weekend, I sat and actually watched him a little bit, collecting the ball, reading which line the ball is going down, how he moves. I think it needs a lot of, it does need work. But having said that, I think his batting is something unique. He brings a certain X factor to the team. And for me, he definitely needs to be on that plane to Australia. I also just wanted to talk about one other thing, DJ, like you mentioned, right? Mayank Agarwal. I know most people wanted to play him. But for me, I think the balance between having a strong pipeline is to ensure that you kind of bring youngsters in and mix it with the senior players. So you don't want a situation where you've got suddenly in the playing 11, Shaw, Mayank Agarwal and Rishabh Pant, and you're up against Stark and Hazelwood. So I think Rahane had to be in the middle. I think Pant is a great selection. I think Mayank Agarwal may have to wait a little bit, and I think that should be fine.
Rahul has been that wild card too. So when you talk about having Pant, Shaw, potentially Mayank and Rahul, this is where, I mean, I'm glad I'm not the selector, but this is where if I was a selector, I would be giving Murali Vijay another look. because as good as Shaw has been, he doesn't have a track record in Australia. The quality of seam bowling and the pitches are very different. I mean, if Rahul and Shaw are both volatile at the top of the order, that could be a pretty big struggle. I think they may rethink Vijay, who again averaged more than 60 on the last tour of Australia, just to give a little bit of stability. So that, to your point, Varun, you have the right balance of stable and, you know, young match players as well.
Yeah, and talking about people getting hundreds, Sir Jadeja got his first 100 at Rajkot. So Ashwin, I can see you smiling there. Talk us through Sir Jadeja's 100, his celebration and everything that comes with it.
Yeah, I mean, it's one thing to do. It takes a special kind of player to score a 100, get in the media, spend press conferences talking about his batting, how he's been working on it, and then get out second ball duck in the following match. Right, so let's give credit to Jadeja where he's due. If he made another 50 or 60, we would all have been in shock. This is the Jadeja we know and love to follow up his century with a duck. For me, I think I talked about this on the last episode, I believe, but it sets up a little bit of a conundrum for the selectors again for that number 7 slot. And with Pandya having a lackluster series in England, with the team having probably more good full-time fast bowlers than full-time spin bowlers, which is a big statement to make, and it's an interesting time in the side, and we'll talk about fast bowlers in a bit. I think Jadeja has really made a case for himself that, hey, I can play at 7. I can bowl 20 overs back-to-back and do it in about 6 minutes for all 20 overs. I mean, Jadeja's speed that he gets through his overs is unbelievable. And I think he's showed that he has what it takes to bat to play as a bowling all-rounder at this level. So I was personally very excited. I think he should have gotten a shot in England a little bit sooner, but good to see. And now, you know, leaves the selectors with more of an issue on their hands.
I'm actually very happy with Jadeja's resurgence just because it puts a little bit of pressure on Pandya. I feel like the only two people who had their slot fixed were Pandya and Kohli, and that is so unhealthy, I can't tell you. So I'm very happy that Jadeja's come in, even if he plays or not. But it's important to let Pandya know that your place is not reserved.
Yeah, and I think we also should just probably acknowledge that Virat Kohli also scored 100 in this series. It's just become so par for the course. It's almost on autopilot that he scored his 140 and his 45.
More conversation had he not scored the century. Right? That would have been the unusual behavior at this point.
But I mean, he did take his review as well. So it was absolutely par for the course. I mean, perfect. I really enjoyed Kohli's review in the second innings as well. To be fair, it was one of his better ones because it was umpire's call at least. But Kohli Saab took his review and fair game to him. Enjoyed that. Anyway, guys, moving on to the bowling. So we played three spinners in this series. Kuldeep, Jadeja and Ashwin. Let's go one spinner at a time. Varun, I know you've been a big fan of Kuldeep. So talk us through Kuldeep's performance. He took his first 5-4. I think he became the first bowler to take all three to take 5-4s in all three forms of the game in one year. So just talk us a little bit through what Kuldeep is doing and why he's doing so well.
Yeah, so I've been a big fan of his. I think, you know, we've spoken about Kuldeep in the red ball versus white ball. I think Kohli has done a great job by making and ensuring that he plays both the test matches against West Indies at home. Typically, India does play a third spinner. There were some talks about should it be Kuldeep, but I think great move. I think when an unorthodox bowler flights the ball the way Kuldeep does, you're bound to create some problems for a batsman, right? Because the temptation is there, the field is in. And we kind of saw that against one of the West Indies players that I think two or three balls, they tried to attack him. Third ball was edged to gully. So I think Kuldeep is here for the future. I think he's done well so far. He is, I think, one of the only few who's taken 5 wickets in all three forms of the game. And that kind of shows you his class. So, but still a lot to work on. So it needs to keep going again. Don't let it get to your head. That's the only thing from my side for Kuldeep.
Ashwin, anything to add to that assessment of Kuldeep Yadav?
No, I mean, I think when you have a unique bowler, I think most sides would kill to have a left-arm Chinaman who can flight it the way he does. I mean, some of the, I don't remember which batsman it was, but there was one LBW where the batsman didn't offer a shot. And even the commentators are saying you cannot read whether it's the stock leg spinner or the googly. And that's just an unbelievable player to have in your arsenal. So nothing else to add to what Varun said. Very, very excited that he got his chance because it would have been very easy to write him off after the one poor showing in England. But again, good problem to have. Three quality world-class spinners and all worthy of making the 11.
Yeah, and I'm going to ask you about the other two world-class spinners because I know, again, that you're a big fan of Jadeja. And obviously, there's Ashwin. So just talk us through their performance in this. Just par for the course, you think? Just bowling teams out for fun again?
pretty much, right? I mean, they're one of the great bowling partnerships from a test match standpoint that India's had in the last couple of decades, at least. So I think very much par for the course. I think as you look forward, you know, for me, Ashwin was ineffective for the most part in England. And that's where I think this becomes an interesting choice, right? Abroad, if Ashwin doesn't have that ability to, you know, do what Kuldeep did, which is start flighting it up, just go back to for basic. There was a point when 10 overs back to back, Ashwin just kept firing it in at the batsman's pads. Didn't give away too many runs, but had at no point looked threatening to give a wicket. This is in England I'm talking about. So that's where this becomes interesting, right? If you have, you know, higher, Kuldeep's willing to take a little bit more risk and more likely to get the reward. Yeah, he may get hit for a couple of boundaries, whereas Ashwin tends to go into a shell. I don't know if you guys remember, we watched the Champions Trophy match against South Africa together last year, and we were just all in shock that why is he just constantly firing it in? He bowled his 10 overs for like 30-something runs, didn't take any wickets, and that's not the role your spinner plays. So in an environment where you pick maybe two spinners, I can see Ashwin struggling. We'll have to see how the selectors feel about that.
Do you think it's a function of Jadeja and Ashwin both being left out of the one-day squad? Because, I mean, they both kind of started off as limited overs bowlers, and they've now morphed into almost specialist test players and specialist test players in India, which... I mean, from Ashwin actually broke onto the scene through the IPL and the Chennai Super Kings, if you remember. And Jadeja was a superstar with the Rajasthan Royals to start with. So it's almost a role reversal in some ways, which I think that may have put these guys off a little bit. And Kuldeep started as a test match spinner, has now become a one-day and T20 certainty and is making his way back into the test team. So it's just interesting, I think, how their roles have evolved over time. Moving on from the spinners, we played two fast bowlers in both games. Umesh Yadav picked up a 10-for at Hyderabad, and the other fast bowler was injured. So Ashwin, just talk us through both those events. Umesh Yadav taking 10-for and this other bowler, I can't remember what he's called, being injured after 1.4 overs.
Yeah, your facts were wrong. We played one fast bowler and we played one, nobody really knows what he is. But he also only bowled 1.4 overs. No, of course, we're talking about Shardul Thakur, who anybody who's spent any time interacting with me on Twitter will know that I'm not his biggest fan, to say the least. But I think both very interesting outcomes to see, right? Umesh Yadav, so, so deserving of a 10-for, right? Man of the match, picked up an incredible 6 wickets in the first innings. He just runs in hard, hits the deck. And I think the line I've used before that I'll use again is that maybe in any other generation, he would have been India's strike bowler. It's just that he happens to be playing in a team with Ishant, Bhuvi, Bumrah, and Shami. And so he's a top five bowler for India, but it's not necessarily a top two or top three. And so I'm personally very, very happy for him. It showed that running in hard, hitting the deck, bowling with some aggression and some real pace worked and showed that he was able to bring his game. I have nothing more, honestly, to add about Shardul Thakur. I don't know what anything specific about the injury. He came out to bat and could barely run. He bowled 1.4 overs, gave, I think, 9-plus runs, and went off the field. He should never have been in that side to begin with for me. I completely understand giving a rest to your top two bowlers, but he should not have been in the side. I would have played a Khalil or somebody else younger to give them some more exposure to the international scene. So disappointing. He's also made the ODI squad, which I also don't understand, but we'll see where that goes.
It's funny because he, for the amount that DJ and I saw him warm up in Nottingham, it's amazing that he could not bowl even 1.4 overs. I think he must have run around the cricket field at least 35 to 40 times before the start of the game.
Yeah, he looks pretty fit. He looked like he was pretty fit. But just for our listener, just so you know, that Varun and I don't share the hatred of Shardul Thakur that much. In fact, we even took a photograph with Shardul Thakur when we were in Nottingham. And every time Ashwin rants about Shardul Thakur, we send him that photograph. And it is literally one of the best. We'll put it up one of these. I think we may have put it up already. So go and check it out on our Instagram. It irritates Ashwin like nobody's business.
And now I have 18 copies of it on my phone, thanks to you.
It was a double piece. It was a pity photograph.
Talking about the doubles. This week, we've interacted with Danny Morrison on Twitter, who was talking about the Bald Brothers, who we call the Double Bs. The Bald Brothers being him and Brian Lara. Like, one being a world-class player and one being Danny Morrison. But anyway. Ashwin also interacted with another world-class player called Akash Chopra, who we've spoken about in this podcast before. I think Varun has called him the guy who's always dressed like he's going to a shadi. We've also said, why does anybody need an app? But by the way, apparently Akash Chopra is going to be listening to this podcast. He's literally said that he will be having a listen. So, Akash, if you're listening, where were you, man? In 2003, we only saw Veeru score all the runs in Australia. But apparently, you were a great opening partnership. Anyway, let's move on to the next topic. So, guys, just before we wrap up the India-West Indies discussion, I just wanted to ask one question. So, is three spinners going to be the norm going forward for us? Because we played three spinners and two quicks, or as Ashwin says, one quick and one somebody else. But I think if everybody's fit and firing, will we be playing three spinners and two quicks usually, Varun?
Well, at home, yes. I mean, even Jayant Yadav and all played and hit centuries in the past. So at home, I think, yes. Overseas, no, man. In fact, even in England, we were playing four quick. So I think there's a distinction between home and away for us.
Ashwin?
Yeah, same thing. I agree. I think where I was going with that is I think maybe you'll play three full-time seamers, one full-time spinner, and then Jadeja at seven. And so that way you have your three full-time seam options when you're abroad. I think at home just depends on the pitch, but most likely you'll play three spinners.
Okay, awesome. So I think that wraps up the India-West Indies series. There are just a couple of small points we wanted to pick up before we move on to the quiz. The first one was a little changes to the drinks break. So Virat Kohli actually has come out and said that he didn't enjoy the umpires enforcing the no drinks breaks and 40 degrees heat. But what it has done is, along with the spinners bowling, India actually bowled 95 overs in a day in one of these test matches. So guys, what are your thoughts about these drinks breaks being enforced very strictly by the umpires? They're not allowing more drinks breaks, and they're saying you're going to have it during the scheduled drinks or when there's a break in play. Varun?
So I'm not in favor of amending it so that it comes out anytime the batsman wants. I think that disrupts the game's play. But I think, yes, I think there needs to be a certain amount of flexibility to say that instead of maybe every 15 overs, we'll take it at every 10 overs in conditions, and both captains should agree to that. So I think there has to be a little bit of flexibility around that. But very interesting, for the first time in, 25 years of watching cricket, I actually saw Pujara put a small bottle of water into his pocket as he was batting. I'm not sure if you guys saw that. But that gives you an indication of how hot it was out there, and probably why you need a little bit of flexibility. I mean, at this level of cricket, I would think it's pretty uncomfortable to have like a bottle of water in your pocket. So that kind of showed you that, yeah, I think you need to be a bit flexible.
Awesome. And the other drama that happened recently was the SG cricket ball drama, which Virat Kohli has just come out and said that the SG balls are not doing well. They're getting too soft, and that's why we can't take wickets at the end. Umesh Yadav piled onto that criticism in Hyderabad. Kohli had actually said it at Rajkot. Kohli actually came out in support of the Duke's ball, saying the Duke's ball should be used for test cricket all over the world. Kookaburra is pretty consistent and good as well. The World Cup, in fact, is going to be played with the Kookaburra ball, interestingly, although it's in England. So I was reading an article on Crick Info, which is the Cricket Monthly, and it talks about how Kookaburra has kind of taken over World Cup cricket, including in England, where in 1999, apparently they used the white Duke's ball. But the highest number of wides across all the World Cups, I think it was 20 wides per game, was in that 1999 World Cup. So despite Dukes being an English company, this World Cup is going to be played with the Kookaburra ball, which I find quite fascinating, to be honest. But I'm not sure what to make of all of this. Maybe there's an argument to be had to make everything consistent. Just have the Kookaburra ball used across all games. I think the Duke ball was fairly disappointing as well. I was at the ground and the ball was changed about, I don't know, it kept getting changed every few overs almost. So for Kohli to come out and say the Duke's ball is the best is a bit odd. But the Kookaburra ball, they've got a variety of it used in the West Indies. Sorry, the Duke's ball has a variety of it used in the West Indies, which is for different pitches. So maybe that is an option. The Kookaburra ball is used in Sri Lanka, Australia, South Africa, etc. So I don't know why this debate has suddenly come up, but SG, apparently people are not happy with that. So we'll have to see how that develops. And finally, I think Varun has got a little bit of an update for us from the world of technology and the old Indian team coach Anil Kumble and what he's been doing with his spare time.
So it's very interesting. I'm very happy to read this kind of stuff, right? So Anil Kumble has got a company called Spectacom, They have recently tied up with Microsoft and Star India. And I think it's great that, you know, somebody like Anil Kumble wants to develop the world of cricket, develop the training. So what they're doing is quite interesting. They're developing a light sticker that is going to be placed on the shoulder of the bat. And this sticker will then be able to give you real-time data as to, you know, where the ball has hit the bat. Has the bat turned in your hand? How much it has turned? What's the quality of the shot? And it's kind of providing real-time data to coaches who will have an app on their phone to be able to track it in the next sessions, etc. So to me, I'm a big fan of this because I think in all aspects of life, anything that we can get in terms of data and real-time data is enhancing life. And I'm very curious to see how it is. And I think, interestingly, Microsoft has the cloud computing element to this. Anil Kumble, of course, will bring in his cricketing knowledge. And Star India has said that they'll try to bring it more to the viewers. So a very interesting space. Let's see, as a viewer, when we can see or hear more about it. But great to see people like Kumble doing this, right? Rather than just going the normal route of commentating or academy coaching, etc.
Yeah, really interesting. Thanks for that, Varun. I'm now going to hand over to Ashwin for the most awaited part of this show, which is the quiz. So Ashwin, please take it away.
All right, guys. So in the spirit of trying to use big data and technology, mine is nowhere compared to Kumble's back, but I try to pull some fun questions together every week for a quiz. So with Prithvi Shaw and Rishabh Pant being big topics of discussion, I thought I'll ask you a few questions about the role of age in cricket. So what I have is 6 questions that are closest wins. I have a couple of one question each for you guys.
Varun, what happened last week? Yeah, just refresh my memory. Who won?
I think last week Ashwin spoke to the Pakistani podcast.
The week before that?
I think you may have just kind of got one past.
What's the score in the 3-match series that just finished recently? So Varun 2-1.
Varun won twice.
Yeah, I won
in a row.
This is 2-1.
But overall, I'm pretty sure I'm ahead.
Thankfully, we're not keeping track. If any of our listeners is keeping track, send us the stats. Okay, guys, this is about age in cricket. So DJ won last time. You can call on the coin, heads or tails.
Tails.
It is a head. Varun, do you want to go first or second?
Have a bowl, dude. Just have a bowl.
I'll go second.
Second. Okay, so these
first... Oh, you're going to have a bowl. Well,
these first few questions are closest wins, okay? So no sharing points. DJ, you answer first. In Test cricket, of the top 10 youngest players to make a century, how many are from Asia?
7.
Varun?
6.
The correct answer is 9. 9 of the top Koreans come from Asia. Hamilton Masakadza from Zimbabwe is the one exception to that rule. So DJ is 1-0. DJ, you answer first. In what year was the most recent 40-plus-year-old batsman to make a test century?
2016.
Varun?
I was also going to say 2016.
You can say
2016.
All right. Yeah. Unfortunately, you guys are both correct.
No, but he's cheated my answer, so I get it right.
That's the point of how the
first. He literally cheated my answer.
Why would I do that? Like I was.
Okay,
I knew
you should tell. Okay, tell me who it is.
Okay. Bonus points. Varun, go guess first. Can you guess who it is?
But I also get to guess.
Sorry.
Mizbah.
Okay. Let's really get a bonus point here. To the day. In total years plus days, how old was he when he made that century? Varun, you guess first. This is just impromptu. I just happen to have that stat. This is not a fact. But it's worth a full
point. It's just what he happens to read all the time.
No, it's worth a full point, okay? Varun, you guess first.
Okay, Varun, 40, go for it, dude.
40 years, 236 days.
And DJ?
42 years, 134 days.
42 years, 47 days. So DJ gets
Nice.
Well played.
Boom, shakalaka.
The score
2-0.
2-0 to DJ. Varun, you answer this one first. When Brian Lara made his 400 not out.
No, it's my question again. Why should he get it first?
Oh, I thought
I'm going first throughout.
I thought answering first was a disadvantage. Okay, you go first.
No, it's not. It's only a disadvantage on the closer questions.
Okay, sure. This is closer question. Which is
cool. Oh, then he can go first.
Go for it, my friend.
Really struggling. Okay.
No, now he has to go first.
DJ, now
okay, okay, fine, fine. Fair enough,
when
fair enough.
When Brian Lara in Test cricket made his 400 not out, how old was he?
Thirty-nine.
Varun?
38.
Varun takes that one. He was actually only 34 when he made that.
Oh, shit. I thought he was really old.
No.
Oh, he was 39 when he tried to play the IPL and no one picked him. That's pretty sad.
Okay, so the score is 2-1. This one is for Varun first then. So we asked about the youngest. Of the top 10 oldest players to make a test century, how many of them are from Asia? Varun, you first.
Six.
DJ?
Can you repeat the question?
Yes. Of the top 10 oldest batsmen to have ever made a test century, how many of them are from Asia?
I'm going to say five.
The correct answer is one.
Miss yes, Bob, I win.
We talked about earlier. So DJ takes
that's
on.
That's right.
I mean, it's very interesting.
3-1. Unbeatable.
As you start to dig.
Why? Who was the guy?
Misbah.
Misbah, five runs.
Only one. Only Misbah has made a century in the top age.
So basically, in the mid-1900s, it was all like 40-plus-year-old English and Australian cricketers. The oldest guy to make a century is Aussie. He was 49. Second oldest was Aussie. There was a guy from Zimbabwe, three Brits, and then Misbah just snuck in.
Misbah, five runs.
Yeah.
Misbah, five runs.
Okay, score is 3-1. But I think we have enough questions left for Varun to be able to catch up.
Die.
So now the same question in ODIs. DJ answers first. Of the top 10 youngest ODI century makers, how many are from Asia? Youngest.
Seven.
Varun?
Six.
Oof, you keep guessing under him. It's 10. All 10 of the top 10 youngest century makers in ODI. So I think this is beyond reach now, but I'm going to finish the
question. I think this is an India-West Indies thrashing, bro. So I played two test matches in the last 3 weeks against you. And yeah, one was an innings defeat, and this is turning out to be
10 wickets.
10 wicket win.
All right, let's see if you can salvage some pride. Varun, this one for you first. How old was Rohit Sharma when he made 264 in ODIs?
How old? 25.
DJ?
24.
He was 27. So, point for
Varun. Yeah.
Stealing back.
How old is he now, man?
I don't know. I'm guessing like around about 30, 29, 30.
31.
When did he make it? Like against Sri Lanka?
Let's see. I don't know.
Sri Lanka any good then?
Is Sri Lanka ever any good? Okay.
They won a World Cup, Joe.
Last two questions. This is not closest, so these are just regular questions. Varun, since you're trailing, I'll let you decide. Do you want a question about batting or bowling?
Batting.
All right. This is pretty easy. So Prithvi Shaw, who we just spoke about, was the number 7 on the youngest player to score a test century list. Name at least one of the top 6.
What?
Sachin?
Yeah, that's correct. It was pretty easy.
Okay.
That was way too easy, man. Okay, but who's the youngest one? Who's the youngest?
Anybody have a guess?
It's a Pakistani.
It is not a Pakistani.
Is it not?
No. That's minus one for you.
Minus one.
This is the only way you're going to win this, dude. Penalty points.
Penalty points.
It's not a Pakistani. Nice. Actually, the youngest was Mohammad Ashraful.
Yeah. 16. Oh.
DJ, final question. Mm. Who is the oldest currently playing bowler to have taken a 5-wicket haul after the age of 40?
Herat, dude.
Yeah, that's correct.
Who else? He's in his walker. He's going to be taking 5 wickets.
That concludes our quiz. The game is 5-3 to DJ. So he's won the last two in a row. Varun won the two preceding. So it stays pretty close, neck and neck overall. Back to you.
Yeah. Let's say it was pretty close. Neck and neck overall. Well played, Junior. Nicely done.
I'm doing my best.
Yeah. Yeah, there's some family love. But anyway, guys, okay, thanks for listening.
How much did Sachin make in his last innings against West Indies?
74.
Nice. Okay.
So how much did he make in his first innings ever?
That I don't know.
88 36. Caught by John Wright, dude. Come on, Varun.
Nice.
Anyway.
I'm glad I don't have questions in this quiz. I just realized how bad I was.
No, I think you would beat both of us quite easily.
I didn't know. But anyway, 24 or 88 for Sachin. I was going to get 16.
The whole country was like hanging on, waiting for him to score 100.
I was like one.
Darren Sammy caught him, right? At slip.
Oh, you're talking about the first.
Yeah.
I thought you were talking about the first inning, his first innings ever when I was one.
First innings was, I was 3, so I didn't see that either.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway.
Anyway, guys, thank you so much for listening into this week's Edges and Sledges. Do get in touch with any thoughts and comments. We've really enjoyed this podcast. So tell everyone about it. Tell everyone you know. And we'll see you next week with more fun. Thanks very much.